Good morning. Welcome to Marbleton Free Will Baptist, our service, and good to be with you this morning. Good to be together in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so thankful for the opportunity to be here and the folks that's made it happen. And thankful for you that's watching and listening, and hope you're praying for us. And I got a text on the way here. A good, great friend said, I'm praying for you this morning. And so I appreciate that. And before we get started or anything this morning, the Lord had laid on my heart for us to pray a little bit before we get started. Pray for our nation and pray for this horrible disease and this COVID-19 that's going, and pray for our leaders, our country, and the folks that has to make decisions, and church leaders. There'll be a lot of decisions made here in the next few weeks, and the schools have already decided to stay closed down, most of them, I think, through the rest of the year, and a lot of decisions yet to be made. And we need wisdom from above. We need wisdom from the Lord, and only He can. He knows what's around the curve. He knows what's over the hill, and we want to go to Him this morning. And before we do anything, I want us just spend a little bit of time and pray and ask God for wisdom and guidance and leadership and protection and all these things. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you this morning, and we're so thankful to be able to call upon your name today, and so thankful, Father, for your many wonderful blessings of life. And I'm thankful, Father, that I was able to get up this morning. I thank you I was able to feed myself and eat a bite and clothe myself. And Father, we had freedom to get in a vehicle and a vehicle to drive in and drive over here. And Lord, I thank you for the beauty and of this beautiful morning. And Father, I thank you that Lord, for this beautiful sanctuary and these wonderful people that's come out to help and us get this going today. And Father, I thank you, God, that you're still in control. I'm thankful that you're still on the throne. And Father, that this coronavirus and these things didn't catch you off guard. You knew it was coming and you've allowed it. And Father, that we trust you in it. And Lord, that we pray, God, for your direction and your help. And you know what we need far greater than we could ever think or ask. But Lord, we're coming to you this morning and asking you for wisdom and guidance. We pray, Lord, that you'd open up our mind and give us the wisdom. Solomon asked for wisdom to lead the people. And Lord, I pray for wisdom for pastors across America today and the world, that you give them wisdom how to go about and handle the services. And Lord, that I've seen a lot of people doing things a lot of different ways. And it's exciting to see how folks are stepping up and how you're leading, and the pastors are listening to you and the church leaders. And Father, we thank you for that. We ask you, God, for wisdom here at Marbleton, that you would direct this board, and God, that you'd help us, and we'd follow everything that you would have us to do. And Lord, that we could have an outreach and we could make a difference in some people's lives. And Father, we pray, Lord, for our sister churches, our brothers and sisters in Christ that's ministering in different churches. Lord, we pray for them this morning. I pray and uplift them. Pray you'd give them wisdom and guidance. And pray, Lord, that as the word goes out over the internet and the things today, that lives will be changed. Hearts will be touched. People will call upon you and ask you to come into their hearts. And Father, that you would give a touch and direction in so many areas and so many lives. And Father, we pray for our nation. I pray for our leaders that be making decisions. And Father, that I pray that they'll work together. Lord, that they would come together and work for the good of the country, the good of the people. And Lord, that they would seek you for wisdom. They would seek you for guidance. And Lord, that you would lead this nation. And we'd be on our face before you. Our leaders would start their meetings out on their face, calling upon the name of the Lord, asking you to give the direction, asking you for mercy, asking you for the graces that we need to make it through this troublesome time. I've heard this week several times, Preacher or Tim, we're in perilous times. These are rough times that we're in. Lord, that we know that we can trust you and we call upon you today. pray for our nation. I pray for the leaders of our states or governors. Lord, you'd give them wisdom. God, that you'd just open up their intellect and their mind. And Lord, that they would make the right decisions for the people. Lord, I pray for the governor, Bill Lee, in Tennessee. Lord, that you would touch him and you'd give him the wisdom he needs. You'd direct him exactly what he needs to do. Father, we pray for our local leaders and all of our church leaders. Lord, that you just direct us and help us, Father. Pray you'd build a hedge of protection around us and keep us safe. We've done a lot of things to try in this nation to keep this from spreading. Lord, that I pray that you help us now, that we don't get too excited, we don't get too carried away, or we don't wait too long. You know exactly what we need to do. Father, we're asking you today for direction. We're asking you today for help. Lord, that we need to ask you more. We need to be on our face more. But your word says that, Jesus, you said, anything you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Lord, we're praying for direction, leadership, and guidance and wisdom. Lord, help this great nation. I thank you for America. I thank you for people that took a stand, and Lord, that we have the freedoms we enjoy today. I thank you for every man and woman that ever put on a uniform in the name of the United States and protected us and fought for us. Lord, I thank you for them. Pray that you'll protect our people, our emergency workers in hospitals. Lord, all of the police officers, everyone that is in, no matter what area they're serving in, Lord, pray you for protection upon our people. Pray, Lord, you protect us and guide us. Forgive us, Father, where we fail you. Lord, we love you today, and I praise you. And I thank you that I'm able to come to you and call upon you. Thank you, Lord. I pray for this service. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You'd illuminate my thinking and bring back to remembrance, God, that you would direct in every area. Have your way. We invite you to take control of this service. We'll step in when you say to. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. This time, Brother Jim Hill's going to come and share with us before the message.
Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. We've got to remember we serve a loving, true, and almighty, powerful God this morning. He's all in control of all things. Amen. And we just need to go to him, ask him, and he will handle it. Amen. He can handle all things. Even we trust. I Salvation. I thank you for reaching down his hand and touching me one 20-some-odd, about 20 years ago now. And my life changed. The moment that Holy Spirit entered me, I changed, believe me. I love him this morning. I praise him this morning. Give all thanks and love to him. He does. He just changed my life. He's made me a different man, and I love him. Praise the Lord. This next song is... We're going through a lot of rough times right now, and like I said, God's in control, but one of these days there's going to be peace. We're looking for peace down here. There's no peace down here, but one day we're going to have peace for eternal. Sometimes you think about, what is eternity? You can't imagine. You try to sit and think how long eternity is. It's no end. And praise the Lord, I want to be there. I'm going to be there. Amen. With my brothers and sisters. Okay, Brother Dan. Thank you.
Aren't you thankful for that peace this morning? Jesus said, a peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, give I unto thee. I'm so thankful for that peace. I'm so thankful for that Savior this morning. Thank you, brother. If you have your Bibles this morning, you want to turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. Want to share a message with you about 40 all-field days. And I got to 40 all-field days. I got to thinking about this, and I've thought about it this week, and thinking of the 40 days between Jesus' resurrection and His ascension. There's not a great deal in the Bible about it. Few things you can pick up, but you know, thinking, and I've done studying and research and a lot of different things and read over a lot of people. And so, but in the Bible, when we look, you see that just before, usually before something great happens in the Bible, there have been a 40-year or 40-day or something period just before that. Just before the salvation of the children of Israel, Moses was through 40 years with giving a law. He is 40 days. We think about that, and my mind is going. And so the things that Jesus, to start in His ministry, He spent 40 days in the wilderness fasting before His ministry. So just before something great happens, we see this so often in the Bible, 40. And just before something great is getting ready to happen, we see Jesus spent 40 days with His disciples. He spent 40 days with folks around, and we're going to go through what He did. But what I want to get our mind is what something great is getting ready to happen. The birth of the church is going to happen in 50 days, but He spent 40 of those days preparing and encouraging and teaching and convincing and showing folks, helping to get people ready for this next step. We came through, and a lot of things has happened through the church history, but now the church is getting ready to be born. The church, the reason that Jesus came from heaven to earth was so that the church could be built and to be established and carry on and do the work of carrying out the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful to be part of that this morning. I tell you, I want to stop here just a second and tell you how good it is and how blessed we are to be part of the dispensation of grace. To be part of the church age. The Bible talks of the prophets. It said even the angels desired to look into it. We are a special group of people that we have been blessed to be in the church age. In Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 1, the Bible says, "The former treaties have I made." This is, of course, Luke is the author, and he's referring here back to the book of Luke, the gospel. And he says, "I have made, O Theophilus, O lover of God, a friend of God, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up after that through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, He, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And thinking on this passage here, I want to share 40 all filled days with you. The first thing we see here in verse 3, that it says he showed himself alive. He showed himself alive. One of the reasons of this 40 days, I believe, was that he showed himself alive. He wanted everybody to know that he was still alive. That he was not a spirit. And that it wasn't something that just happened. It was not a figment of anyone's imagination. That he had came, he had lived a perfect life, and now he had laid down his life, and now he had rose from the grave. He was now victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and that he was, I think, in this time, according to the scripture here, that he, one of the reasons, what he was letting the disciples know, he was letting the rulers know, he was letting everybody else know, that I'm still in charge. I'm still God. I'm still Jesus Christ. I'm still the one that walked on the water. I'm still the one that healed the blind. I'm still the one that touched the deaf ears. I'm still the one that raised the dead. Well, glory, hallelujah. And this morning as we think about this, and I want us to get our minds going that he showed himself alive. Praise the Lord. This is after the resurrection. Can I take this minute and share something with you? He's still alive today. Praise the Lord. He didn't just take off and gone. He's gone into glory, sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And he said, if I go away, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, but where I am, there you may be also. So I'm thankful that he's coming again. But the Bible said he showed himself alive. I want to share a few verses with you. In 1 John 1:1, the Bible said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that we also may have fellowship, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. You know, it's the reason of John writing the epistles. And he wanted everybody to know, and our joy may be full. And that as Christians this morning, we believe that Jesus arose from the dead. We believe that he came out victorious, and that he's coming again and going to call us out of this world. Boy, that's something to be joyful about. That'll bring the peace that Brother Jim was singing about. And in John 20 and verse 30, the Bible says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. See, we've got a limited account of what he did. And let me read a couple more verses to show you how limited it is. This is the disciple which testified these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen is how he finished that off. And wow. My thinking, and as I try to think and bring all that in and put all that data in, it overloads this little small computer. I can't really contain it. But he said, more, if what was done that he had done written the books, they couldn't even be enough books. The world couldn't even hold what he had done. Woo, glory. You don't think we don't serve a mighty, mighty God? You don't think we don't serve a mighty Savior that even the whole world couldn't contain the books that would have to be written to explain what he had done? See, the Bible here says that many infallible proofs. And I had to run off a copy of some appearing to several different people at different times. He's eating and drinking with them. He's meeting them in Galilee. He's allowing them to touch his body and handle him. His instructions to them in the nature of doctrines and the kingdom. His appearing upwards of 500 persons at one time, according to 1 Corinthians 15:6, and continuing all of these public manifestations as he went through. Now the word many infallible proofs means to present a case, or it's overwhelming evidence. You've no heard of cases of court of law that there's been overwhelming evidence that would support the prosecution. And this is what the wording here is the overwhelming, many infallible proofs. It's overwhelming evidence. And these evidences here, and John said they had handled him. They had touched him. You couldn't touch a spirit. They touched him. They handled him. And they also had eyewitness accounts of him. You know, as you read through the Gospels, there might be a few words here and there and different views that was taken, but there's one thing you had to say. They is all on the same page. I mean, they you can read one, go right, read the other, and they just amen each other. And I thought back as I was studying this several years ago. It was me and two other guys who was working over in Asheville, North Carolina, coming home one evening. Coming across it was the old road coming from Asheville to Irwin and Kirby, and it's while they were working on the new road. And we met a truck, and that truck got over in our lane, and our mirror sideswiped, hit. And the mirror in the truck I was driving slung around and busted the window right out in my face. And I'd got a hold of my boss. He said, well, you need to call state trooper and make a report. So the state trooper come on the scene, started asking what was going on. The other truck kept going. Started asking what was going on. There was three of us in that truck together. One of us said it was a blue truck. One of us said it was a black truck. The other one said it was a red truck. And the black and the blue I might see, but the red I don't know about. But anyway, we couldn't get our story straight. First-hand account had got hit by another vehicle. But they have got their stories together. It's more than a coincidence how the Word of God has the harmony of the gospel. So you could take two or three people and see one certain thing, and there is no way they'll come out with the exact same thing about it. If you think I'm crazy, next time if we ever get together again as a group of people, play the little old game that we used to play years ago and start a word or a sentence. And by the time it gets around the room, it's way out there. But see, their story matches. I'm thankful today for the infallible proofs in God's word and what he did, and especially in this 40 days, that there is no doubt that Jesus Christ was and is and always will be the Son of God. He is still in charge. He is still in control. And God has a plan, and we have to just pray and find out that plan and see what our part in it is. Amen. We see that he showed himself alive. But and we saw many infallible proofs. But then the Bible goes on to say that they seen him with their own eyes. What's the old saying? A picture is worth a thousand words. They looked him over. They inspected him and they saw him. They ate with him in Luke chapter 24, verses 40 through 43. He showed that the tomb is still empty and he's still alive. Praise the Lord. By he showed himself alive. Not only did he show himself alive, he showed his support and comfort. In verse 3, the Bible says, "By showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. Being seen of them 40 days. He didn't waste any time of taking care of some things. One of the first things he did, he restored Peter. He got Peter back in. He said, "Peter, you've got a big part in this work." He encouraged Peter. He dried the tears of Mary at the tomb. He welcomed Thomas. When Thomas said, "Unless I see with the holes in his side, I'll not believe." And when Jesus came and stood before him, he said, "Thomas, it's me. Here, stick your hand in." He restored and brought back and encouraged and welcomed doubting Thomas. He instructed the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. The Bible says that he came up and he encouraged them and he preached himself out of the Bible. He went back to all the scriptures that talked of him and he shared with them. And they said, "Boy, didn't our hearts burn with that within us? Didn't this? I tell you, as Christians today, we need a holy heart burn. We need our relationship to be in such a place that our hearts burn within us with the love and the fervent of Jesus Christ, that we are on fire and that we're geared up and we're ready to carry the gospel. We're ready to do whatever he wants." Praise him this morning. Aren't you glad for that we can have that relationship with him? He ate with the disciples. He met them in Galilee. He cooked breakfast for the disciples on the Sea of Galilee. And you think, as I thought about all these things, what an encouragement and what a support that is for them guys. They had trusted the Lord. They had put their faith in him. And he had died. They didn't know what to do. I bet it ran across their minds. "Well, wow, I can't believe that we got tucked in. He's promised all these things, and now he's died just like everybody else. What do you think now?" He arose from the grave, and now he has come in the room right through the walls. He has showed up. He's cooked breakfast. He's eat with them. They've handled him. They've talked about the thing. "Well, glory, hallelujah. I believe these old boys got their courage back. I believe these old boys got excited again. I think that they were ready to go. They were ready to charge hell with the water pistol, Brother Tim. I think that they was fired up by Jesus being with them and encouraging them and giving them the support." And he said, "Boy, I tell you what, if I ain't careful, I'll get ahead of myself in the message. But I think he said, "Boy, I'll tell you what, you ain't seen nothing yet." Glory, hallelujah. This is good, but boy, you just hang on a little longer. Praise the name of the Lord. What a support and encouragement. See, he was telling them, death cannot separate us. Death will not separate you from me any longer. Woo, glory. And that I've been dead, now I'm alive. Come over here, Thomas, and put your hands in and see that I'm real. I'm not a phantom. I'm not a ghost. Well, glory, I thank God for the Holy Ghost, though, don't you? Well, praise the Lord. I'm feeling good again, Brother Tim. But he was telling them and let them know in this time, we fear death, you don't have to. It reminds me of an old song when I was a boy. It used to sing, "Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die." I remember Leo Mathis singing that and shaking the rafters. We don't have to fear death because our Savior, the one we believe and trust in, has conquered it. Praise the Lord. And death does not separate us from his love either. It don't separate us from him, and it don't separate us from his love. In Romans 8, 37, the Bible said, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Death cannot separate us from his love. We may be separate from him, but I tell you, he loves us. He has proven it. He has showed it. And not only that, he sent the Holy Spirit back to comfort us and to give us what we need. And he said when the Comforter comes back, when the Spirit of Truth comes back, he'll tell you everything about me. He'll bring to remembrance of me. He won't talk about the Holy Ghost. He'll talk about Jesus Christ. Well, glory. He'll talk and lift me up and encourage your hearts and bring things to remembrance about me. Death don't separate us from him. It don't separate us from his love. Or it don't separate us from our personalities. See, he remembered the disciples. He knew them. He loved them. He was the same Jesus, still the same concern, still everything. He was, when he came back, he was still the same Jesus. The same sweet, loving Jesus. And we will be too. I think we'll have our personalities. And death can't separate us from who we are. Who we are in Jesus Christ. Not who we are in the world, but who we are in the Lord. I'm thankful for who I am in the Lord. I'm a different than I was years ago. I thank God for that. But I'm who I am because of who he is. He reached out one day and changed my life and changed me completely and made me different than I used to be. I'm not the same person that I was years ago. It's not because I'm better. It's because he's better. He's good. He's perfect. And glory, hallelujah. I'm thankful that he showed his support and comfort. I want to go on. He showed himself alive. He showed his support and comfort. And the third, he showed his steadfastness and he commissioned them. He showed he wasn't going to give up. they wasn't doing away with him. It was only going to get worse for the ones that's fighting against him. And everything that's ever been done to fight against him, he's came out victorious every single time. When the king, wicked Haman, in the book of Esther, tried to get rid of Mordecai and shut the Jews up and get rid of the Jews, he wound up getting hung on the same gallows he built to hang Mordecai on. So often, the things that people devise to fight against God, Jesus, and the things of the Lord, it blows right up in their face. And they meet their own demise. See, he's steadfast. Glory, hallelujah. The Bible says here in verse 3, toward the end, it says, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. F.B. Meyer said, the book of Acts should be called the Acts of the Ascended Christ. That the Gospels tell what Jesus did in his body, in his human as a mortal. But the book of Acts tells what he did through his body, the church. And guess what? He's still doing things through his body, the church. The church is still alive. The church is still going. The church is still strong. The coronavirus didn't shut church down. It just changed the way we minister. We're not meeting together and getting a hug on each other, but we're still communicating. I'm still talking to folks. I'm still able to look at you. You're still able to see this big overweight guy that needs to go on the diet. But I'll tell you, I thank the Lord that we're able to communicate. I thank the Lord that he's bigger than the coronavirus. I thank the Lord he's bigger than sin. He's bigger than hell. He's bigger than the devil. He's bigger than anything that'll ever be thrown our way. And if we'll trust him, we might go through some tough times. We might go through some perilous times. But I'll tell you, in the end, we win. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just hang in there. That's what Jesus, I think, was telling the disciples. Hang in there. You ain't seen nothing yet. See, he showed his purpose to them concerning the birth of the church, concerning the gospel dispensation, concerning the doctrines and the ordinances. Hey, I think that he was able to finally get them and set them down and say, now listen, this is the way it is. I know when I was alive and things, and you thought certain things, but just listen to me. I've accomplished it. Woo! Glory! I've accomplished what I came to do. And I believe that he had a conversation. Now, it's going to be important. You guys are going to be an important part of what's to come. Guess what? We're an important part of what's yet to come. There's some people still yet to reach. There's some folks that need Jesus. There's some people that needs prayed for. There's some folks that needs help. There's benevolence work we can do. There's a lot of things. There's missionaries all around the world that needs encouragement. There's a lot of folks that needs encouragement. Our church leaders, and if you run across a pastor, you know, encourage him. Say, hang in there. I'm praying for you. Encourage one another. See, in Luke 4 and verse 43, the Bible says, and he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. That God's kingdom was always the central theme in Jesus' teaching. His sovereign rule. Jesus said in his ministry, he said, this is what I come to do. This is the reason that I came, and I'm telling you that there's a kingdom coming. Let me go on and read the rest of these verses. In Matthew 4:17, the Bible said, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was nigh, it was near, it was at hand, because the King of all the universe had come to earth. And then in Luke chapter 17, verse 21, he says, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you, is near you, is with you. And aren't you thankful for that today? I tell you, I am so thankful that God's Spirit dwells within me. I am thankful for the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. All the power, the most powerful thing in the whole universe, dwells within inside of a believer. Glory, hallelujah. What power? Aren't you glad of the power of God that dwells within us? And when that power, that Spirit, it says in Romans that if the Spirit is not in you, you're none of his. I'm thankful that the Spirit dwells within me. I have found him here this morning in a tremendous way. And what's that tell me? That tells me I'm part of the kingdom of God. Glory, hallelujah. I'm one of them. I'm the chosen. I've been called. I've been redeemed. I've been set free. I've been brought out. I've been made alive. And he has touched me and changed me. And one of these glorious days, he's coming back to get me, and I'm going to heaven to spend eternity with him in heaven. You might say, preacher, you're off your rockers. Do you really believe that? Oh, yeah. Hey, man, I believe it. Because the Spirit bears witness. I'm thankful. I'm going to ask you something. I'm going to encourage you today. Have you ever felt the Holy Spirit in your life? Have you ever just felt, whoo, you're in. Praise the Lord. You've got it. If you don't have the Spirit of God, then you're none of his. He's coming back with ones that's filled with the Holy Ghost. Glory, hallelujah. I'm glad of the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. Well, glory, hallelujah. I think, and I said that Jesus was telling the disciples, now, fellas,
Everything I've taught you, everything, this is the reason I've done it. I'm going away. I'm going back into heaven. I told you that I was going, but I'm going to come again and get you. Well, I'm gone, though. You got a job to do. But, fellas, I want to tell you something. On the day of Pentecost, when that feast comes in, you ain't seen nothing. Woo, glory. You ain't seen nothing yet. You wait until that day. You wait until you get together. You wait till you're being endued with power from on high. You wait till you see the motorcade that comes into town when the Holy Ghost comes. When the Holy Spirit comes and sets up the church and the church is born. It was born out of a prayer meeting. Jesus said, just wait. Oh, law. Woo! You talk about encouragement. He had commissioned them here. And see, they had saw him minister. They had saw him do all these things. And he taught them how to. And then he sent them. In Matthew 9, it says Jesus went. Matthew 10 said Jesus sent. He went and taught them how to minister. Reaching, teaching, supplying need. And then he taught, and the disciples went and done it. And I could say in this time, he'd say, Peter, do you remember when you was in such and such town and such happened, and for so no reason the Holy Spirit come in, and wham! Yeah, I remember that. You ain't seen nothing yet. John, do you remember when you was over here doing this and this happened and the Holy Spirit come in? Woo! Glory! It was a bunch got saved. And yeah, I remember that, Lord. Just hang on. You ain't seen nothing yet. Well, glory. And you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit tells me, he said, Tim, you remember such and such? I say, yeah. He said, you ain't seen nothing yet. Woo! Glory! Do you remember the day that the Lord reached down and saved your soul? You remember the feeling that you had when you came up? Tears may have been streaming of things. Well, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit said this morning, you ain't seen nothing yet. Glory, hallelujah. There's some things ahead, Brother Jim. There's some things are coming. And we ain't even touched the tip of the iceberg yet. Woo, glory. I feel like preaching. Is it okay if I go ahead and preach a little bit? I won't preach over 45 more minutes. And see, he was encouraging them before he goes away. Now the human man in verse 6 shows up. He said, when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore thy kingdom? He said, are you getting ready to take over Jerusalem? Are you getting ready to run the Romans out? Are you getting ready to say, woo, are we getting ready to win? He said, don't you worry about the kingdom. My Father's got that under control. He's got a plan. And it's none of your business when and where and how he sets kingdom up. But he said, but you've got a job to do. What the kingdom and how successful the kingdom is going to be is how successful and how faithful you are to the ministry that the Lord's getting ready to give you. See, they were commissioned to carry the gospel to the whole world. See, if you've heard the gospel today, I've heard it. It's where it originated from. Jesus sent 12 guys out, and they preached, and they taught, and they did miracles, and they did wonders in front of the people, and the gospel has spread around the whole world. Woo! What an important job. He said, you don't need to worry about when the kingdom's coming. All you need to be concerned about is preaching the gospel of that kingdom. Getting people ready for that kingdom. He shared with them that their purpose was to spread the word that he is still in the saving business. And that there is a lost and dying world that needs to hear that message. And today,
as I close in this message, I've had questions asked me several times in the last few weeks. Preacher, you think this is judgment? You think this is the starting of the end? You think, and I've had the thoughts myself, could this be it? It's looking. I made a statement to one of the trustees. I said, boy, I sure hope there's not 9 lined up to come in behind this one. But this ain't 1 of 10. And we think about these things and we have unsettled thoughts and so our minds are racing. And the disciples here, they hadn't got it all together yet. They were saying, Lord, we understand what you're saying, but is this the time what it is? He said, don't worry about the times. Don't worry about the coming. Don't worry about the kingdom. Don't worry about when I'm coming back. All you need to worry about is while I'm gone, you're busy about the Father's business. And in the world today, we don't need to be concerned about a lot of things. We need to be concerned that people is hearing the gospel, that people is being saved, lives are being changed, hearts are being encouraged, and people is being lifted up. And now that we've got all this time, is a good time to pick up the telephone and call someone you know that needs encouragement and say, you know, I'm praying for you, I love you, hang in there, we'll get through this thing together. See, this not a time for us to get real anxious, over anxious, real concerned about things. It's a time that we trust Him more than we've ever trusted Him. See, the disciples had to have a lot of faith now. They've seen Him alive. He's been with them 40 days. He's getting ready to go away. But I want to tell you, in about 10 days from when He leaves, the boldness set in. The courage set in. The conviction, the comfort, all the things the Lord had done has set in now, and they was ready to carry the gospel. What about you this morning? Are you saved? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt you've asked Jesus into your heart and He's forgiven you of your sins? And you're ready to meet Him. You're ready to go to heaven, rather it be the way of death or rather He come in the clouds. Are you ready to meet the Lord today? All the other things I've said bring to this point. I want you to know that Jesus loves you. I want you to know that He died for you. And if you accept His forgiveness, He will come into your heart and change you and make you a different person. And if you're not a Christian, don't know a lot about it, not all Christians act like me, so you don't have to worry that I'm going to be acting like Preacher Tim. A lot of folks act different. But I encourage you. See, I don't know who I'm talking to. But the Lord does. And you do. And I want to meet you in heaven one day. I want us to be together in glory. This was not an accident that we've met this way today. This has been a divine appointment. And the things have been said, the Lord had designed it. And I encourage you today, if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, will you do it today? We say, Lord, will you forgive me? I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that He rose from the dead and He ascended back into heaven. And I accept the forgiveness that He has. Will you forgive me? Come into my heart and change me. A prayer similar to that, with faith, will save the soul. Praise His name this morning. Believers, I want to encourage you. Pray harder. Study more. Live out your faith more than you ever have. Time's short. This may be the beginning of the end. We better pray harder. As the Bible said, when you see these things come, lift up your head for your redemption. Draw off nigh. Praise His name. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Then Brother Jim's going to come and close us with a song. Father, we thank You again for this day. We thank You for Your blessings. I thank You for the Word of God. I thank You for these 40 awe-filled days that Jesus spent here on earth before He was called back into glory. And Father, I pray today and ask You, Lord, that You would just guide us and help us. You'd forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings. And Lord, maybe things in our lives we've allowed to creep in, and you may be wanting to get our attention today and say, won't you trust me more and put those things aside and not depend upon them as much. Lord, that we pray and ask you today for your touch, your guidance. I pray for the touch on all the believers that's listening today, that you would encourage every heart. Lord, that you'd help us to keep on keeping on. And Father, I pray for the ones that may be listening that's never asked you into their heart. Lord, I pray right now, the Holy Spirit, you will speak to those hearts, and they'll say, Lord, will you forgive me and cleanse me and come into my heart? Lord, I love you and praise you. Thank you for this another opportunity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you again for being with us. I'm thankful to the Lord for everything that he's done. Lord's will, I'll have something ready Wednesday evening to share back here. And remember, keep praying, keep encouraging. Keep your hand to the plow and your eyes to the sky. Praise the Lord. Good to be with you. I'll see you in a few days.
Well, it's a wonderful sermon Brother Tim had this morning. I just thank him for it. What a wonderful message. We know one day our Lord is coming back soon, and we're going to see each other at our heavenly home. But I have a song this morning I'd just like to share with you that's called Look For Me, because I'm going to be looking for you too. Amen, Brother Dad. Thank you. and thine.